Hello and welcome back to Coffee and Catechism, a regular podcast on the Catechism of the Anglican Church in North America. I am but your amateur catechist, Richard Reeb. This is a production of Amateur Anglican. Got my chocolate Nirvana coffee this morning. Yes, lots and lots of chocolate. Very good. So I've got my coffee. I hope you've got your coffee. We've got your catechism. I'm going to open with a confession of sin. We're going to be talking about sacraments, and let us wash our hearts. Dearly beloved, the scriptures teach us to acknowledge our many sins and offenses, not concealing them from our Heavenly Father, but confessing them with humble and obedient hearts, that we may obtain forgiveness by His infinite goodness and mercy. We ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before Almighty God, but especially when we come together in His presence, to give thanks for the great benefits we have received at His hands, to declare His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things which are necessary for our life and our salvation. Therefore, draw near with me to the throne of heavenly grace. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which you ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And apart from your grace, there is no health in us. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare all those who confess their faults. Restore all those who are penitent according to your promises. Declare to all people in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may now live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Grant to your faithful people, merciful Lord, pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, we are on the bottom of page 55, top of page 56 in the Catechism. We're switching gears completely. We've left the discussion of the Apostles' Creed and entering into a discussion of sacraments. So, question 121. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. God gives us the sign as a means by which we receive that grace and as a tangible of assurance that we do in fact receive it. Question 121. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. God gives us the sign as a means by which we receive that grace and as a tangible assurance that we do in fact receive it. Okay, scriptural references. Genesis 17, verses 1 to 21. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the son of a multitude. I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And God said to Abraham, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, but he was born in your house and who is brought with you and who is bought with your money, shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall call her name Sarai, but not Sarai, excuse me. As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, moreover. I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, no, but Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his offspring after you. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful and multiply him greatly. He shall father 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will establish my covenant with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this time next year. Next is from the Gospel of our Lord according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 53 to 58. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you shall have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. Next is Romans chapter 2, verses 25 to 29. For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So, if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? Then he who is physically uncircumcised but keeps the law will condemn you who have written the code and circumcision but break the law. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Next, the Catechism references the 1662 Catechism, without being particularly specific, but there's a section on sacraments, so I'm going to pretty much assume it's that section that it's referencing. So I'm going to run through those question and answers just to, because I mean this question is an over, you know, it's sort of the 50,000 foot view of all of sacraments. So here is the 1662 Catechism question and answers. Question: how many sacraments has Christ ordained for his church? Answer: 2 that he wishes every Christian to receive, if at all possible. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, also known as the Eucharist or Holy Communion. Question: what do we mean by the word sacrament? Answer: we mean an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace given to us, ordained by Christ himself as a means whereby we receive that grace, and a pledge to assure us that God is truly gracious to us. Question: how many parts are there in a sacrament? Answer: 2, the outward visible sign and the inward spiritual grace. Question: what is the outward visible sign in baptism? Answer: water, in which the person is baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Question: what is the inward and spiritual grace? Answer: death to sin and a new birth to righteousness. Though we were born in sin and were the children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3, in baptism we are made the children of grace. Question: what must a person have in order to be baptized? Answer: 2 things, repentance, or turning away from sin, and faith, or truly believing the promises that God makes in that sacrament, Acts 2:38. Question: why then are infants baptized, since they are too young to repent or have faith? Answer: because their godparents made the promises on behalf of the infants, and when the baptized one comes to maturity, they take on those promises themselves. Question: why are the sacrament of the Lord's Supper ordained? Why was the sacrament of the Lord's Supper ordained? Answer: so that we might remember the sacrificial death of Christ for us and receive the benefits of that sacrifice. Luke 22:19. Question: what is the outward visible sign of the Lord's Supper? Answer: bread and wine, which the Lord commanded us to take. Question: what is the inward and spiritual grace? Answer: the body and blood of Christ, which are truly taken and received by the faithful in the Lord's Supper. Question: what are the benefits that we receive from participating in this sacrament? Answer: our spirits are strengthened and refreshed by the body and blood of Christ, just as our bodies are made by the bread and wine. Question: what is required of those who come to the Lord's Supper? Answer: to ask ourselves whether we truly repent of our sins and truly intend to lead a new life, have a lively faith in God's mercy through Christ, and a thankful memory of his death, and be at peace with everyone. Romans 12:18. So, question 121, what is a sacrament? So a sacrament is an outward and visible sign, so something visible to us and to others, of an inward and spiritual grace. Something is given to us and taken into our inner being, into the spirit of ourselves, into our souls. God gives us the sign, so a mark, as a means by which we receive that grace. So, means of grace. You'll hear this phrase again and again in a lot of Anglican writings. Means of grace. And as a tangible, physical assurance that we, in fact, do, in fact, receive it. What do we receive? Grace. Right. Again, grace upon grace upon grace. It's not us doing the work in baptism, the heavy lifting, as it were. Yes, there's water applied, but who's doing the heavy lifting? God. Who's doing the heavy lifting in the supper? God. Right? He says, I will send, you know, in the Eucharistic liturgy, there's, you know, send on these elements your spirit. There's some form of that, the what they call the epiclesis. There's some form of that across all those liturgies, which is, God, you have promised that this bread and this wine are your flesh and your blood. Make these things true. And what are we supposed to do? Have faith. Trust in him that he can do that. Can he raise the dead to life? Yes. can he make the bread and the wine his true flesh and his true blood? Yes. Now, does it still taste like bread? Yes. Does it still taste like wine? Yes. As our canon theologian Stephen Gauthier likes to say, you know, Christ came in the flesh. He was both fully God and fully man. He was there, so the bread, the flesh, right? His flesh was the bread. The God was in him. So did, right? It's not trans, I'm not going to necessarily make this a diatribe against transubstantiation, but it still is bread and is wine. And the baptism is not, you know, we're not breaking into heaven and stealing anything. God's giving it to us, right? Baptism is an outward sign. God does all the heavy lifting. He does what he has promised. So I'm going to turn to little Ambrose. This is Ambrose talking about circumcision. And I'm using it because I think it's a really good discussion of signs and realities, right? The circumcision as a sign, it pointed to a larger reality, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit is the down, you know, it's the down payment, whereas the sign of circumcision pointed towards something. There's an actual thing that occurred later on. So, Ambrose of Milan. I know that this part of the text is disturbing to many. Indeed, if circumcision is a good thing, it should be maintained today as well. If it is useless, it never should have been mandated in the first place, particularly not by divine precept. But inasmuch as the apostle said, Abraham received the sign of circumcision, certainly the sign is not the reality itself, but points to another reality. That is, it is not the truth, but points to the truth. In fact, Paul expounds this teaching in the following terms. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of justice and faith. For this reason, it is not inappropriate for us to understand that bodily circumcision, it is not inappropriate for us to understand that bodily circumcision is a sign of spiritual circumcision. Therefore, the sign remained until the truth arrived. The Lord Jesus arrived, who says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Because he circumcises the whole person in truth, not a minor bodily member in a sign. He abolished the sign, he installed the truth, because once that which was perfect arrived, that which was partial was abolished. Thus the circumcision of a part ceased when the circumcision of the whole shone forth. For it is now no longer man in part, but the whole man who is saved in body, saved in soul. For it is written, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This is the perfect circumcision, because through the sacrifice of the body, the soul is redeemed, of which the Lord himself says, whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. Here ends the reading. So Ambrose is pointing then to the cutting off of flesh and circumcision, to the cutting off of our entire flesh, right? The laying down of your life. Whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. Take up your cross and follow me. This sacrificial aspect of our entire life, right? The cutting off of the flesh. Can hear Paul, make no provision for the flesh, right? Make no provision for the passions of the body, but do that which is the will of God, right? That's the upward call, to lay down ourselves for him, the sacrifice of righteousness. If you are to live in a righteous way, there will be a cost. What am I doing? We're talking about sacraments and I'm moving off into the life. This sacrifice, this circumcision, pointing towards the larger sign of baptism, right? It's an outward sign, the water pouring over the body. Who's doing the work? God. He's doing the heavy lifting. The question is really trying to, question and answer is really trying to convince you of a certain thing. Because I think within the American context, a lot of this has been lost. This was something that was deeply understood by generations, centuries before us, but of this, the tangible reality of the spiritual life, or the reality of the spiritual life, that we live in a world that is, that has spiritual things in it. And that sounds very strange in a modern context, but that's truly what we believe, that there are demons out there, there are powers and principalities that work against us and try to destroy people. A sacrament is a statement that God has holy things which he intends for us, and these things are a means of grace. It's a strengthening of our spirit. God has ordained a way to strengthen us in these signs and sacraments, the sacraments given to us to give us a firm assurance of that which we have in heaven, where it is imperishable and indestructible, right? Not here where robber can break in and moth and mold and things can be destroyed. No, our life is set with Christ in heaven, and these sacraments are a means of pointing us continually towards the truth of a life that exists beyond our sight. We live by faith and not by sight, but there's these continual reminders, especially the sacrament of Holy Communion, of receiving the body and blood. You feed on him. Truly. So a little etymology. Sacrament comes from the Middle English sacrament or sacrement, which is of course taken over from French sacrare, which is to consecrate. With consecrate meaning to set apart for a sacred purpose, right? So the sacraments set us apart for a sacred purpose. We are living. We are living images of God. We are the Shechem. We are the idols. We are images of the living God. We are brought to life by God and infused with the sacraments. So these sacraments, I'm not going to necessarily dive into each of them, because the questions and answers that come after this all, of course, cover all of this. I guess what I'm attempting to do is to convince you that there is such a thing as a sacrament, if you don't already believe it. Try to cut through the cultural haze, the historical misunderstandings, the arguments of the Reformation, Zwinglianism, that it's just a memorial. We have a God who is living and active and works powerfully all the time. We may not always see it. I had a couple of God moments in the last week that just kind of, they're like sort of the 1-2-3 punch where you're like, well, that was pretty amazing. That other thing was really amazing. The three, no, that's God level stuff. That's like three things to encourage my soul in a very specific way to a very specific topic in a very specific context. They fed me because they hit me right what I was thinking about. Like God answering a question. Something that had been burning, that had been just flipping over in my mind. God is working around us all the time. We must have faith and trust that He has also promised to do that which He has said He will do, which is He will feed us. Come together at communion and be fed, truly fed. Real, you know, my body is true food. My full blood is true drink, right? He's pointing it to being something better than what we consider nourishment. It is something better and beyond. Baptism is not just a washing away of dirt from the body, but a washing of the soul. It is a truer image. Yes, it washes the body, but it washes the soul. There's something indeed truly powerful in the sacraments. If we would be have the faith of a mustard seed to trust that God can do these things, which He said He will do. Okay. I think I've said all I want to say. If you have questions, feedback is at amateuranglican@gmail.com. If you think I've gone off the rails, amateuranglican@gmail.com. Plenty of resources that I can point you towards to discuss this more in detail, but this might challenge some of you. To some of you, I hope this is just a reaffirmation of that which you've believed for a very long time. Let's close in prayer, shall we? I think we're gonna do the collect for the day today. If you're on iTunes, please rate and review me on iTunes. Share on social media. As I say in other places, if you think you can do this better than I can, please do. We need catechism. I'm peripherally involved in an attempt to create a society for catechists. We'll see if we can get that off the ground, and if so, I will talk more about it in a future episode. So here's the collect of the day. O God, whose blessed Son came into the world that He might destroy the works of the devil and make us children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that, having this hope, we may purify ourselves as He is pure, that when He comes again with power and great glory, we may be made like Him in His eternal and glorious kingdom, where He lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.